Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, March 27th. I'm Ray Graff. Time again for a baking session with Chef Gail Sokol. Chef Gail is an educator, author, podcaster, popular YouTuber, and today Gail wants to talk about yeast breads in general, specifically about focaccia. According to Chef Gail, it's easy to make flatbread and create a centerpiece for Easter or other spring parties. She made something today. It's like a Matisse or something. And we took a picture of it. You'll find it on our social media. Give us a call, 800-348-2551. If you have a baking question for Chef Gail, 800-348-2551, or email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Focaccia, same to you. We'll see you after the news. Oh, hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's Food Friday, and today we welcome back our friend, Chef Gail Sokol. Gail is an educator, an author, a faculty member she was for years at Schenectady Community College and the Sage Colleges in Troy. She has written a widely used textbook entitled About Professional Baking and a cookbook, Baking with Success. She has... I'll tell you, it's an ever-expanding catalog of YouTube videos. We have one linked from today's Vox Pop page at WAMC.org, and it's Gail running through the entire process of making focaccia. And that's what we're going to talk about today. She made a beautiful piece. The number here is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also email the program at voxpop@wamc.org. Gail, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. That was a very nice... I would say was because a lot of the staff came in.
Well, it's been hacked up a little bit, but I'm so glad. Everyone, I call it a spring focaccia.
Yeah.
Because it is supposed to be spring if you don't look outside and go outside.
It feels okay.
It's getting there. So I decided to make a focaccia that instead of having big, puffy focaccia, make it almost like a canvas and paint it with vegetables. So I call it a spring focaccia. And I used all different things. You can use your imagination between herbs like dill and parsley, chives, scallions, even sliced figs, soppressata. You can use salami. You could use pepperoni, anything you want. Mm. And then just have a go at it. And I think this looks like a Monet painting, don't you?
Oh, it's
you?
Monet. I said
Monet,
Matisse.
Monet, you said Matisse.
It could be Dali, Salvador Dali, right?
Oh, I hope not. Yeah. No, he's a little more
dripping
abstract. Yeah, that's a different focaccia.
No. Okay, yeah. So anyway, if you want to see this, I believe Kayla's putting it on our social media, our WAMC social media. I think Gail will be putting it on hers. You won't see it now because it's cut up pretty good, but it was beautiful.
Thank you. And I served it with a pesto butter. So you just take butter as much as you want, let it get to room temperature, put it in your mixer or just hand do it, and put in some pesto or any herbs or spices you want, and then just, you know, refrigerate it. But it's perfect for Easter time. It's perfect for spring or even into the summer if you're going to have a wine and cheese. Cut it up in little squares, put it out for people on a holiday like Easter, you know, special days, and have a go at it with some cheese or wine or whatever. It's yummy.
It is yummy, and that's what we'll get to in a moment. Our guest today is Chef Gail Sokol. It's Baking Today. If you have any kind of baking question, she's the one. 800-348-2551 is our number, 1-800-348-2551. You can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. So focaccia is what you call a yeast bread, right?
It is a yeast bread. It's basically a flat yeast bread. It's almost like a pizza dough, but it's got a little more heft to it, so it's a little thicker. There are focaccias that are pretty thick, a couple inches high, but this one is, I didn't do the last rise. Normally, you do a bulk fermentation with the dough, then you push it out into a container, whatever you're baking it off in, which in this case was a sheet pan, and then you usually give it another rise.
So
I did not.
By that, you mean you just let it sit at room temp for how long?
A warm room temperature, about an hour, till it almost doubles in size the first time. The second time, it may not double in size, but you usually do a second rise, which is called the proofing stage. I did not do it because I wanted to keep my canvas flat so I could decorate it with lots lots of different vegetables. So I oiled it with very nice extra virgin olive oil. And then I decorated and I just had a go at this. It's so much fun to do. Sliced bell peppers for flowers and
figs.
Any type of olives. Oh, it's wonderful. These are dried figs. They're not even fresh figs, although you could use fresh. They're not in season right now.
Right.
And you can just do whatever you want. You could even do one with, you know, more fruit, dried fruits. You could do dried cranberries, raisins, whatever. Figs, again, prunes, whatever, although they are polarizing.
Everyone loves prunes.
I love prunes. If you call them dried plums, they're more marketable. But if you call them prunes, forget it.
Okay. Well, I think you hit a certain age. You're looking forward to the
prunes. Well, if you're looking like a prune, you usually like prunes. Ouch. So, you know, I love prunes. I love prunes too. I do.
Well, we digress. It is Baking Today with Chef Gail Sokol, educator, author, YouTuber. How's the YouTube going?
Oh, fabulous.
Yeah, what are you doing?
So busy. So I had some minor surgery on my wrist, so I had to stockpile some videos ahead of time. So every 5 minutes, I'm saying to my videographer / husband, we're doing another video. And he's like, oh, joy.
Oh, my gosh.
We're doing another video. Oh, so, we're so happy to hear that.
I thought your daughter was doing the videography.
She got so busy. She got a promotion. She's so busy. So I am... she does my social media. I know. Don't laugh.
So your husband's forced into doing this.
Well, he's partially retired. So I said, he's working a couple days a week, and then he works with me a couple days a week.
Right.
So you know what? We're having a good time.
Good.
We made an individual brown sugar brownie cheesecake that went off the charts, 15,000 views in a week.
Now, what do you mean individual?
Oh, they're made in those large muffin cups.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they're awesome.
Really?
Oh, my God. They're so good. So I put cheesecake, and then I made a brown sugar brownie, and I crumbled it on top, and in the middle, it is spectacular with the cheesecake and a graham cracker crust, but it's individual. No sharing. You don't have to share.
So you had 15,000 right
just
away.
Just for that one. Yeah,
that's
incredible. That everyone loves it. Anything chocolate. My followers seem to love it. I'm almost at, very, very close to 16,000, but I'm at 15,500 and something right now. But I'm working on it. It is
amazing.
And I'm even thinking, I know I'm not sure yet. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I'm feeling like I want to do another book.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
But I don't know. I got to get a publisher. I got to think about this.
Well, what would it be about?
I don't know. I don't know. Things my mother never taught me because my mother could not bake or cook.
That's
it may be fun.
Make a memoir out of it?
A memoir and my favorite recipes because I have so many more recipes than I started with. So there's over 500, way over 500 on YouTube alone.
Right.
So it goes beyond my books. And, you know, I've just learned so much more and interacted with so many more people. It would be fun.
Gail Sokol is our guest today. It's baking, and we're having some fun already. It's focaccia and yeast breads in general, but whatever baking question you have, give it a shot. 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. All right, back to the focaccia for a minute.
Yes, yes.
And again, you took a good 30 minutes spelling something on there, but what did it say?
It said WAMC. And then on the next line, it said spring into, and then the next line, Food Friday.
Oh.
Perfect.
Oh, gosh. I was so busy eating, I didn't see that.
Well, you probably ate a letter or two and didn't know.
And the letters are what?
The letters are basically pâte brisée or just flaky pie dough because I did not want them to change or be yeasted because when they rise, it would change the shape of the letters.
Right.
So I wanted a clean cut, so I did a pâte brisée or just like a flaky pie crust.
It's really good. So let's tell me about what goes into focaccia.
Okay, super easy. So it's basically like a pizza dough.
Yeah.
And it's bread flour, and I put my yeast and salt in with the bread flour. And a little olive oil with my warm water. You got to have warm water. And I like to use instant active yeast, which is fast rising.
Yeah.
And you mix it together. You make a nice soft dough. And you put it in a big oiled bowl. Put it in a nice warm spot. Some people have an unlit oven. Some people have a special a special area in their oven that is labeled proofing.
Yeah.
So the oven only goes up to like 90 degrees and you can just leave it
that's
in there.
That's all you need.
And that's all you need. Or you can put it in a warm closet. In the summer, I put it on my porch, on
You're
my
kidding.
Patio.
What
yeah.
about the flies and whatnot?
Well, it's an enclosed porch.
Ah.
So you just have the sun and you just leave it and it warms up. So it's perfect to be really, really fast. And this can also be used as a sandwich. So you could whack it in half and, you know, pieces of it, whack it in half and have a beautiful sandwich. And any leftovers that start getting a little stale, cut them up in cubes and toast them.
Croutons.
And use them as a crouton over
genius.
Soup or salad. They are amazing.
Chef Gail Sokol, you're always a font of knowledge. The number here is 800-348-2551. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. Ken writes in, I've been waiting to report my first time success on making your frangipane recipe.
Ooh,
from last time.
Wonderful.
I listened maybe three or four times to the video, which allayed the usual bakery qualms, and it came out wonderfully.
Oh, I'm so happy.
So much so that this morning I made another for Palm Sunday brunch.
Oh, wow.
With a twist. I added a half cup of toasted coconut to the frangipane.
Yum.
Used apricot preserves instead of raspberry.
Okay.
It looks like another success. It'll be part of my repertoire from now on. Thank
you.
And that's from Ken in Greenwich.
So proud of you, Ken.
Yeah.
Woo, woo.
Is it Palm Sunday? No, it's Friday.
Palm, yeah.
Maybe he wrote this a while ago.
I don't know.
No, okay.
No, well.
Palm Sunday's coming up.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be this Sunday, right?
Yes, the best Catholic in the world. 800-348-2551. I'll check my calendar. Domini. Let's take a break. We'll be back. So I've been mentioning this briefly every show. We have a live Vox Pop coming up at Landis Arboretum on April 22nd. That's Earth Day. The Landis Arboretum is a magical place run by Fred Breglia, and we're doing a gardening show. So we'll be recording this one. There'll be no phone calls. Anyone who comes will ask questions of our gardening crew, the All-Stars, and you can be in the audience. You can ask questions. We'll make a show out of it, and hopefully, if nothing goes terribly wrong, we'll air it on Memorial Day. Tickets and info available at wamc.org/on the road. And of course, Gail, you and I did our first Vox Pop on the road about a year ago, right?
We did. It was so much fun. Did you get? Are you in therapy now? Are
the
you
trauma
okay?
is now easing, so it's feeling much better.
You
now.
Were wonderful.
I'm willing to talk.
You
about
were
it.
Wonderful. I should be in therapy after putting up with.
Well, I think you did a great job.
Yeah, I tried.
You had a designated driver. Harold was there to take you home. It was fine.
Oh yeah, I slept all the way. You were exhausting. You were like I was a babysitter with this little kid that I just. Oh my goodness! You
That's
were,
hurtful. That is a hurtful.
Well, you
thing
were
to say.
You were intense, Ray. Very intense.
Well, listen. You know, I'm not exactly. Did you know that I'm not exactly adept in the kitchen?
I think you would be okay. I'd like someone else to clean up, but I think you would probably have a good go at it. I bet Mrs. Graff does she let you do anything in the kitchen?
No, not at all.
No.
We made what? Apple something?
Galette. Apple galette.
And,
yeah.
Didn't I have to peel apples and
yes,
I failed at
did.
That too, didn't
well,
I?
Well, yeah. Well,
that was not that
we
good.
We won't mention that.
And we'll never hear the tape again. We played it once. 800-348-2551 is our number. Chef Gail Sokol is our guest today. Yeast breads and focaccia, and you made a beautiful thing here. And you were just saying in the break, makes a great pizza. And I think
it
I've
does.
Actually had focaccia pizza
yes.
before.
Yes,
the focaccia wasn't as good as this. This is soft
well,
and
thank
wonderful.
You. Yes. Well, the olive oil, you know, typical pizza does have some olive oil in it. And even as a special, I did not do it here, but you could even put some fresh garlic in with your olive oil, put it in the oven like 300 degrees for like an hour, infuse that olive oil with the garlic flavor, get rid of the garlic after, and then use that olive oil in your pizza dough.
Focaccia, Italian? What is that?
It's an Italian flatbread. That's all it is. It's an Italian flatbread. So I make some that are really puffy, you know, a little bit higher. This I wanted flat because, again, I was going for that
the look.
Painting look, the Monet look.
It's still very, very good and moist and delicious.
Oh, yeah. And just leave your vegetables off. Throw lots of sauce on, even a little pesto on your sauce, and then put some cheese on and decorate and put all your accoutrement for your pizza on and bake it. awesome.
So you put no garlic in the actual focaccia?
I did not.
So the garlic that I'm getting,
you
is
may
from,
be get,
I'm getting pesto butter. I
you're
think
getting it, pesto butter, which
that,
has
which is
garlic
an amazing
in
thing.
It.
Yeah.
Yes, it's an amazing
and
thing.
And so you just take the pesto and you mix it with
Butter, with unsalted butter.
Unsalted.
Unsalted butter because the pesto is already salted. Parmesan cheese is typically in pesto. So are walnuts. Some people use almonds. Some people use walnuts. But the olives, you know that are on the focaccia, add a little salt too. But in the pesto, there's enough salt. Parmesan has salt, and you don't need any more.
Well, I checked out the video of you making this, and it seems simple enough.
It is super simple. Anybody, and I mean anybody, even...
No.
Yes.
Wrong.
Yes. You could make it.
Most people.
I wouldn't even have to watch you. I would trust you to make it on your own. That's how easy it is.
Well, it's really never easy. Going to happen, but still. Now, what other yeast breads are there?
Oh, there are so many yeast breads. There's enriched yeast bread. So this is a very simple yeast bread. Very in the same category as a French bread or an Italian bread.
Yeah.
Very simple. Doesn't have really any fat in it or eggs or, you know, this has a little olive oil. That's it. But if you're making something like a white bread, you would need milk. You would need some eggs. So that's more of an enriched bread.
Yeah.
And those things are like, you know, your white bread, your cinnamon bread, cinnamon rolls are an enriched bread. And then you get more to a richer bread like a challah or a brioche.
Yeah.
Has a lot of butter in it, a lot of more fat, has a lot of eggs in it. These are all enriching ingredients that don't, it doesn't rise as much, but it's richer. And they're just awesome. They're different types of breads.
And what kind of flour are we using for this?
Here, I just used bread flour. Bread flour has more protein, less starch. So it creates more gluten-forming proteins when the water's added.
Okay.
So it's just super. You want though. This is the one biggest thing. If you're making a yeast bread, anyone's listening and has had yeast breads that are too dry, withhold at least a cup of flour from the recipe. You have my permission to do so.
Save it or just don't use it?
Don't use it right now. Save it on the side. Okay. You may not need it.
Okay.
I find a lot of recipes overuse the flour. And if it's very sticky, when you start kneading it on your work surface, then you'll see if you need a little bit. You may not need as much. Use a dough scraper, you know, that scrapey thing that goes on your work surface, and then flip it over on itself and knead it that way. And then once it starts developing gluten, because the gluten will form the more you knead it.
How can you tell that the gluten's there?
It will start out as a shaggy dog and really like all over the place. The dough will be all over the place.
Yeah.
And then once you start kneading it, it gets elastic. It gets stretchy. It feels like your butt cheek.
Well, I'll be darned.
Okay. You know, like that. That slack, muscular type, you know, feeling. Don't laugh. You know, it really does. And it's stretchy. And you can feel the gluten forming. And then you put it into a big bowl. Don't say anything. Spray it with a little olive oil or a cooking spray, whatever. Flip it over so the grease side is up. Cover it and put it in a warm spot till it doubles. And this I just poured into my sheet pan. And I just pushed it. Push. Into all the corners. This is a 12 by 18 inch focaccia in a 12 by 18 inch pan.
Oh, perfect. How long you're kneading it? And I assume you do that by hand, right?
I did it by hand. I did a little bit in my electric mixer. If you don't have an electric mixer, this is the perfect dough to do by hand, meaning with a spoon at first.
Yeah.
And then once you get a dough, flip it over onto a work surface. And instead of using too much flour, so it doesn't dry out, add just a drop of olive oil onto your work surface, or even put a little olive oil on your hand so the dough won't stick. A lot of people freak out when they see dough all over their fingers. They feel it's just too much. That's why the dough scraper or the dough cutter works to do the work for you. Keep your hands out of it. And then once it gets a little less, you know, slack and more elastic, get a little bit of oil on there and slap it around a little bit, because the more you flip it over, the more gluten will form, and that will create this beautiful, chewy structure that you want.
So this would not be one, then, that you can find a gluten-free version of that?
You probably could if
really?
You used a gluten-free flour.
But you need the gluten. You've been talking about making the gluten, watching the
it
gluten
would be
form.
A flatter, and you could probably add some other things, like there are gums and things like that that you can add to gluten-free things
yeah.
that will create a little bit more puff. And sometimes you can also add baking powder and cheat a little to help the yeast, you know, sort of poof it up a little bit.
Yeah.
That happens, and you can do it. But this is, you know, the best of all worlds.
Our guest today is Chef Gail Sokol. If you have a baking question, feel free. 800-348-2551 is the number. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. And so you have a backlog of videos at your YouTube site. How many are yet to be produced? Do you have like...
Probably three.
So you have...
Three.
Who does the editing?
My daughter.
Okay.
And she likes not too much editing. So right. I have
oh,
a
you,
tall
you can't
order.
Screw up, basically.
She yeah. So if we screw up, we have to stop, get all new ingredients, and start up again. Usually it doesn't happen that often, but it happens occasionally. Or something makes noise, whatever, so we have to start again. But, well, you know, it's cool. I've been doing this a while. It works.
You know, and maybe I'm talking out of school here. I don't know anything about the social media. I'm an old fellow. And
I don't either.
But can you monetize it?
Oh, I have.
You have?
Oh, of course.
All right. So I don't want to go in the details, but it's working out for you.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't live on it, but it's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Amazing.
Yeah.
We'll have to talk
it's
after
a lot
the show.
Of fun. It's a lot of fun.
Number here is 800-348-2551, and Chef Gail Sokol is here. So you've made focaccia.
Yes.
And some of the yeast breads that you have also made on your YouTube site. Give me an example.
I have made, I don't think I've done brioche yet, which I'm going to do soon, but I have made croissant. Croissant is a
That looks nothing like this.
It's called a laminated dough. So there are different types of yeast breads. And this is known as a laminated dough, croissant dough, which is also in the same family as Danish dough.
Danish dough.
Danish dough.
What is it?
As it in Denmark, you go to Denmark and you get a, you know, you get like a Danish pastry.
Is it any different? You mean Danish? Like
Danish.
You have a Danish?
Yes,
oh, okay.
Go have a Danish.
Did you bring any Danish?
No, I didn't bring any. It's a different type of dough.
Okay.
So we're having themes, right?
Right.
We have themes.
We do.
So today is a different type of dough. So sometime I will make a Danish dough. Danish dough is laminated. So that means you make a base dough with yeast in it. And then you take butter, and instead of putting, like I put oil in the pizza dough, or you put butter in your challah or brioche
right.
dough, you put the butter on the outside of the dough, and then you roll it out, put the butter on top, and you fold it like a letter.
So it's in the middle.
So the butter is enclosed.
Uh-huh.
And then you roll it out again, you make another fold. So the butter keeps getting folded in, and it makes hundreds of flaky layers so that when you finally do shape it into the croissant, which is usually an isosceles triangle, and you roll it up, it's got so many layers that when you break into it, because the butter melts in the oven and it just, it's like crackly. You know what it's like to eat a real croissant.
Like the kind you get at the coffee place?
No.
No, then maybe I don't then.
Oh, we got a lot of work
no?
to do.
Can you get it at Arby's? Then all right, here's a question that just came in from Kevin. Nope, Kristen. Covering dough. Do you have to use plastic wrap to cover dough? Are there other things just as good? I'm thinking about proofing. And
okay.
That's Kristen.
All right. So, Kristen, you can use a clean kitchen towel. Just a clean kitchen towel. You could use, you know, anything that's clean that can go over the dough. Because you're not going to really touch the dough. You've got to have enough room in that bowl
yeah.
for it to rise. So you really don't want it to rise to the top, like The Blob. Remember that awful movie
what
when
we were
kids? What do
you mean awful movie? Steve
that
McQueen?
Was
that was a great movie.
Scary
1958.
As anything. My God, I wouldn't look under my bed for
you're
years.
You're not allowed on a movie show that
but
I
if
do.
It goes really, really high and it touches that, you really want the bowl to be bigger than the dough. So it at least double the size of the dough. So the dough has room to double.
Right.
Not all doughs double. So the more fat in the dough, eggs, sugar, things like that, they don't allow fermentation to occur as quickly. So sometimes the dough does not rise as quick.
But you could let it go longer and still achieve maximum.
Yeah, but it's not worth doing it because you're trying to make the dough more tender. And if you make dough more tender, there's not as much gluten-forming proteins. So you want the yeast dough to hold up and have structure, but you don't want it to taste like a bagel. You want your Danish to be tender and soft and nice to the, you know, mouth.
Now, when you make a Danish, would you'd use cake dough, right?
Cake flour?
Yeah.
No, you could use bread flour. You could use all-purpose flour. All-purpose flour can be used for anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, I usually use all-purpose flour, but you can use bread flour for like croissant. You would use bread flour because you want more protein than starch. You want that to hold up because you're going to have a lot of layers of butter dough. So if that dough falls apart in between the layers of butter and dough, you have nothing. Everything's going to melt together, and you're not going to get those beautiful flaky layers.
The number here is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. The always entertaining and mostly informative Chef Gail Sokol is with us today. You're writing a second book. It's going to be a memoir.
Third book.
Will there be a chapter about me in there? What a cool dude I am and how much fun it is to work with me.
That may prevent me from getting a publisher. I don't.
Wow, that's hurtful.
If you can get me a publisher, I'll write anything you want.
Well, I don't know any publishers.
Okay.
Believe it or not, I don't know that many people who can do you any good.
Oh, okay. What does that mean?
Well, I don't know influential people. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes, you do.
You know what? Let's go to Joan in Schenectady. Joan, you're on. How you doing?
Oh, hey. I'm sorry. I was like,
What's going on?
I was about to be like turning off all the radio, so I'm just going to hide in a quiet corner of my apartment.
That's usually what I do.
Hi. I recently, Ray, remember I got that bread maker thing?
Yeah, yes. Yep.
And clearly the directions were translated from the French into the English. Some of the phrasing was weird. And every recipe they had was something called strong flour.
Strong flour.
Is that the same thing, Gail, as bread flour?
Yes. So strong flour, Joan, just means flour that has a lot of protein compared to starch.
Uh-huh.
So every wheat flour has a combination of a percentage of protein and a percentage of starch. So cake flour and pastry flour have more starch than protein. And strong flour has more protein. So bread flour would be an example of that. There are other flours that have a lot of proteins as well. So that would be a good source of strong flour, would be bread flour. That would be a perfect type to use.
Got it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Joan. Have a lovely weekend, yeah?
I am. Yes, you too.
Thanks.
Take care.
800-348-2551 is the number. It's Chef Gail Sokol today. And you've made rye bread before, right? Have we talked about that?
I don't know if I've made rye bread per se. I never made it for you. I love rye bread.
Yeah, me too.
A lot of people don't like rye bread. Rye bread, if you buy rye flour, you always should use it with a strong flour like bread flour. Because rye flour doesn't have great gluten-forming proteins. It has some, but they're not as good as they could be. So the rising of it, that's why a lot of rye breads are dense.
So when you buy rye bread, it's not all rye flour?
For the most part, it's not. You can buy all rye bread. It's usually very dense, and you could hit a burglar with it.
Yeah.
Kill him dead. Okay.
All right.
But because it's very dense, it won't rise. It won't hold carbon dioxide in it as it rises, because it won't. So you need something that's going to form this network of proteins, this gluten.
Right.
And that's why something like a bread flour, something that has a little more protein in it would help, that has nice quality gluten.
Let me ask you this. You're the expert on baking. What's pumpernickel? What's in that?
It's rye flour, combination rye flour and caraway seeds.
So most of the time when you get rye bread, when you're going into the store to buy commercially made rye bread, you're really getting pumpernickel?
I think you're getting a combination of, you know, different flours. But there is pumpernickel flour. There is pumpernickel flour that you can get. And it is.
Are you cheating? Are you looking at your phone?
I haven't used pumpernickel flour, but I haven't used pumpernickel flour, but you can. There's all sorts of flours that I don't even know about. Trust me.
I find that extremely hard to believe.
No,
you know what?
True.
Mike, we're going to take a break now because I'm shocked. There's something Gail doesn't know. 800-348-2551. That's the number. You got a baking question? Either email voxpop@wamc.org or give us a shout. 800-348-2551. We'll check the email bag in a moment. Deep Blue Organ Trio there, Bobby Broom and Company here on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551 is the number. Ray Graff with you, joined by Chef Gail Sokol, who, when you last left us, was cheating. So
I was not cheating. I was getting educated.
Okay, now you found out stuff.
Yeah.
And I have a rule here. You know, the guests aren't allowed to use devices. Uh-huh. You broke the rule.
But
tell us what you learned.
All right. So I learned pumpernickel.
Yeah.
It's just rye bread. It's a dense rye bread. It's of German origin. And I have made rye bread. The name pumpernickel I have not made, but pumpernickel is just rye bread.
Mm-hmm.
It uses a mix of flours, again, rye, usually some gluten-forming flour, you know, protein with flour that has a lot of gluten-forming proteins in it. And sometimes they add molasses for color or slight sweetness, even cocoa powder, even coffee.
Really?
Yes, even coffee.
That sounds disgusting.
It but that is typical of a pumpernickel bread. It's got that color. It's got that molasses coffee color, right?
Right.
That's what you love about it.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah,
so
sure.
That's all it is.
Well, that was interesting. Rob writes in at voxpop@wamc.org. I make sourdough bread. Use a shower cap to cover my bowls with rising dough. A clean one, of course, used just for that purpose. Rob, you sound defensive, but that's fine. Rob says it's easier than dealing with plastic wrap and keeps the dough moist. You ever use a shower cap like that?
I personally have not used a shower cap, but that is amazing. They do make those for baked goods to keep them covered, or even for salads and stuff to cover them. That is an amazing idea, and that is perfect for Rob to use.
Rob's very smart.
Very good.
I didn't even know they still made shower caps. Do people still use them?
Yeah, I use one on occasion.
Really? Does Dr. Harold use it too?
No.
No?
He has no hair.
Okay.
Okay.
Christian writes in, duck eggs for baking. Hello, all. I find myself fortunate enough to gather my own chicken and duck eggs. The ducks have just recently began laying, and a buddy from work mentioned that duck eggs make for better baking. If true, why would that be the case? And that is from Christian. You ever bake with a duck egg?
Never. No.
Really?
I have never made anything with a duck egg other than eating a duck. But they can be larger than chicken eggs, so supposedly they can make baked goods more fluffy.
Well, I'll be darned.
So I have never personally done anything with them, but they can actually help with rising and things like that for cakes, cookies, stuff
like
that.
What about a goose egg? Can you use that?
I don't know. I've never used one.
Really?
Yeah. Go get a goose and find out.
Well, I got plenty of goose eggs. All you got to do is look at the ratings book. Let's go to John in Ballston Spa. John, you're on.
Yeah, good afternoon. I'm recently retired, and one of the things I'm doing with my spare time is baking bread. And I was lucky enough to live in Europe for 7 years and got very used to the great-tasting breads over there. And everything I'm making just tastes bland and awful and stale. And I'm wondering if there's anything fundamental that I could be missing.
I think, John, that in the United States, there are different types of flours. They're grown differently. There's different type of soil in Europe and minerals.
What about the water?
Everything. I mean, look at San Francisco's sourdoughs compared to anything I've made. Mine are really good, but there's something very different about San Francisco. Their water's different. They have a yeast named after them. There actually is. I think it's Saccharomyces sanfranciscus, which is the species of yeast, because every yeast you use, remember, is endemic. It's for the place that it survives. Yeast is a fungus and a unicellular microorganism, and it's common where it can grow the best. So it's not going to grow where it it can't survive.
Yeah.
So if it can find food in the right environmental conditions and temperature, it will survive. So there may be different types of yeast in Europe. There's different milling practices in Europe. Some places in Europe won't use bromated. I mean, we've just begun to get rid of bromation.
What's
here?
Bromation?
It's a way to make the flour have a little more high quality gluten when it does get mixed in with water and recipes.
And we've stopped doing that now?
It supposedly can be cancerous and carcinogenic. So
okay.
A lot of places have stopped using it. I try to buy non-brominated flour if you can. Chlorine is still used in something like cake flour. That is a safer process because it makes the flour whiter and it helps with the texture of things when you use it.
John, are you sorry you asked?
No, I'm not. I enjoyed the answer very much.
Well, thanks a lot
Good.
For the call. I appreciate
care,
it.
John.
Well, let's talk about water for a minute.
Yes.
When you made this,
yes.
It takes water, right?
Yes.
What water are you using?
I use my tap water because I like the minerals in there. There are minerals. If I use distilled water, it doesn't taste the same. It doesn't rise the same. So I like the minerals that are in my sourdough. I like the minerals that I get from my tap water.
So interesting.
If you don't like your tap water, some people swear on using their bottled, you know, European,
right.
Whatever. That's fine. But I like the water that I get where I am.
It's so funny. You know, I remember talking years ago to Rocco DeFazio about the dough.
Yes.
And he uses basically bread. It's a bread recipe, his mom's bread recipe to make the pizza dough. And he said one of the reasons it's great is that the water over
yes.
there on his side of the river
yes.
is phenomenal.
Yes. Yep. There's minerals and different things in water. Some probably not so good. But that is what is helping create the gluten and the flavor.
Yeast. Let's go back to that for a minute. This is yeast bread focaccia. And by the way, the number is 800-348-2551. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. And I'll go back to the email bag in a minute. This is yeast bread.
Yes.
I think on a past show, and you know, my memories are dark and cloudy.
Oh, I know.
You talked about yeast and it's
yes.
that it's always present wherever
yes.
you are.
Yeah, it's here.
So what yeast are you using? Are you using store-bought yeast?
I am using for this particular bread, which is this is known as a straight dough.
Okay.
That is what bakers known it to be. A straight dough uses no pre-ferment. Pre-ferment means you're using a starter of some sort.
Right.
If it's a fast starter or a sourdough that you keep in your fridge.
So this is sourdough?
No, no. This is a straight dough, does not use a pre-ferment.
Okay.
So a straight dough uses yeast like, you know, like a Fleischmann's, like a packaged yeast.
So a packaged yeast.
Yes. So I use, there are different types of yeast. There's fresh, which almost nobody uses, but a lot of people swear by it. It's fresh. It almost looks like a waxy little brick when it comes and you crumble it into water and you have to dissolve it. It has a very, very short shelf life. So as soon as you buy it, it's dead and nothing ever rises. And then there's active dry yeast, which are larger pellets of yeast. It's desiccated, it's dry, but you have to proof it. You have to put it in warm water with maybe a pinch of sugar or honey and stir it and just let it bubble a little. That proves that it's alive.
So yeast, you said, is fungus, right?
It is fungus.
Okay. And then this dried stuff.
Yes.
Is sort of in suspended animation. Is that the case?
It's basically been dehydrated.
Okay.
So once you hydrate it, it will come to life. Although when it's dehydrated, a certain percentage will die. You can freeze yeast. Matter of fact, I keep all my yeast in my refrigerator. If you don't bake that often, you can keep it in the freezer. But I use instant active yeast, which
yeah.
is active dry, but it's fast acting. So it's smaller particles of yeast. It actually produces, each yeast cell produces that much more carbon dioxide gas bubbles. So it's like on steroids, this fast rising. And you don't need to proof it before. You don't need to add water, warm water, to see if it's alive. As long as it's within date, you can add it right in with your dry ingredients.
This is in the jar.
It can be in the packet.
Oh, it can.
It can be in the jar.
No.
But you have to make sure, I buy it in the packet because it's more likely I'm going to use it faster. In the jar, you may have it sticking around for too long and some will die. But The fast rising, what I love about it, you can add it directly to flour. You don't have to wait till the yeast proofs and making sure it's alive. That's active dry. And you notice the difference when you see a handful of it. One is larger globs, and the other one is very, very tiny particles. That's the active, that's the fast rising.
Now, what would possibly be the advantage to using the fresh yeast?
Some bakers started using that before the active dry and the instant active came about, and they loved it. I used to use it as an instructor in culinary school, and by the time I got to it, it would come in a brick. It looked like a brick.
I have had to buy it for one of my kids once.
And weigh it. Yeah. And by the time you use it once, it's okay. You know, we have tons of classes, and by the time you use it again, by my next class, it was dead. So I'd go screaming, I don't have any yeast that's alive, because you would proof it. And if you mixed it with a little warm water, it wouldn't make any carbon dioxide. It wasn't showing it was really, really alive. So instant active within the date on the package, go by the date on the package, don't use it past that date.
Interesting. You know, stupid question, but it's sort of my stock and trade. The fresh yeast.
Yes.
How do they collect it? How do you get it?
It's made in a lab. It's made in a food grade lab. It is also, you know, grown. It's a unicellular, you know, fungus that is edible. And it is all done in a food grade lab and then pressed into, it's very waxy feeling.
Yeah.
And it has a weird feeling. It doesn't die in cold water. That's why a lot of people used to like to use it. The active dry and the instant active, I like to put it in 110 degree Fahrenheit water. I don't like it to be, if it's cold water, yeast will die for the most part.
Okay. Now, Dennis over at Berkshire Mountain Bakery chimed in.
Oh.
Said, focaccia is not traditionally a yeasted bread. It may have commercial yeast in it nowadays, but historically, they didn't have commercial yeast.
Mm-hmm.
And so focaccia was always made with natural yeast from the air, not as an added ingredient.
Yeah, very cool. Very
Wouldn't
cool.
it take a lot longer?
It might. It depends on the yeast. If you can gather your yeast and say, hear ye, all the yeast come into my bowl. But it probably was a pre-ferment.
Oh, interesting.
It probably had to be a pre-ferment because they had to harvest that yeast and get that in there to grow and have something to attract that yeast, whether it was fresh grapes that had natural yeast on it. Remember, apples, grapes, pears, they all have natural yeast in the orchards where they grow these things. Even wine, there's yeast on things, and some of that affects the wines that we drink.
Huh. The number here is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. The email is voxpop@wamc.org. Chef Gail Sokol talks baking with us today, and the beautiful focaccia that she brought in, you know, was decimated pretty quickly by the staff, I got to be honest. But we have a nice picture up. I think it's up now. On our social media. You'll be putting it up on your social media as well.
Oh, yes.
So you mentioned the fermentation process, and you mentioned warm water.
Yes.
Is there such a thing as cold fermentation?
There is slower fermentation where you can, you just want to make sure you don't kill the yeast.
Yeah.
Very cold water in the beginning of the process where you have your dried yeast and you put it in. You don't want it to be cold. Like I said, fresh yeast can handle it. The dried yeast cannot. So that's why I prefer about 110 degrees. Some people prefer 90, 95. Some people say whatever your kitchen is at in temperature, 75, 80, that's the best temperature to have your water at. I like 110, and then I mix it in. I feel, and then it's fun because after you put your yeast to rise, when you come back to get that bulk fermentation, that big thing of yeast, it's the dough is warm. The dough is warm. It produces heat, Ray. It's a living organism in there.
Have you ever had a chance to take the temperature and see how much heat it generates?
No, I have not, but I would assume it's probably, I can feel it, that it's probably about 100 degrees.
That's crazy.
And you can feel it. And when you deal with this, well, first of all, your water started at 110, and then it's been enclosed either in that plastic wrap or kitchen towel, whatever, and it's grown and fermented and grown. Remember, heat is produced, and you're heating it by creating friction when you knead. So once you knead it, the friction is created, and the yeast need a temperature that which they will multiply. They also need food, the flour, and there's no sugar in this yeast spread, this focaccia, but there's flour. The starches in the flour break down to sugar, and the yeast love it, and they'll eat it up.
And so how does it break down?
Chemically, it just breaks down. The yeast has enzymes in it, and it will break it down. The flour has enzymes that will break down, and the yeast has food. So when you make a starter for like a pre-ferment, like a sourdough, natural sourdough starter, you start with flour and water. And that flour will feed whatever natural yeast is in there. I have used grapes. I have also used...
I'm sorry, what?
You can create your own natural sourdough starter.
With grapes?
Yes.
What are you talking about?
Remember I said, you are not listening, young man.
What?
You want to take... Remember, any fruit has natural yeast on it, like grapes, right? In the garden.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was the last show, right?
No.
Okay.
This show.
All right, fine.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
you're drinking too much. All right.
I'm not having enough,
so
clearly.
We're taking this grapes. We're wrapping them in cheesecloth. We're putting them in a big container, like a 1 gallon safe container with water, flour, and you're covering it for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Yeah, you look at it and it starts creating all different colors, purple and brown, and it's gross, and you throw it out and you say, I did something wrong, but you start it again, it does the same thing again because bacteria is also living in there. That's a natural sourdough starter.
But that can hurt you.
That's why you're not eating it at that point.
Okay,
so you're going to start growing and creating a symbiotic relationship with the flour and the yeast in there that are natural with the bacteria that are forming. So the bacteria eat certain sugars, the yeast eat certain sugars, and they live symbiotically together, creating a nice sour flavor. And then the bacteria numbers go down, the yeast numbers go up, and you have yourself a gorgeous, bubbly, fermenting sourdough starter.
You know what? You're entirely too excited about
fermentation. I'm intense, Ray.
I can't take it. Somebody wrote in, pumpernickel bread has blackstrap molasses. That's why it has two colors.
It can. Yes, it can. Not all pumpernickel has blackstrap molasses, but sometimes it can. It can also have different types. It can have cocoa, can have coffee, can have different things.
All right. You know what, Chef Gail? We only got a couple of minutes here. We have time for one more call, all right?
Okay.
And then you'll tell us about what's going on in Gail world, and then we'll be all done. Crystal's in Hoosick Falls. Hello, Crystal.
Hey, Ray. My question is, I hear you guys talking about like gluten and different flours and things. So I found out like through like blood tests that I have a wheat allergy, which I never knew, but I always had a stomach ache. So I kind of explain to people that different things have wheat in them, like as far as flour-wise, like pizza's a different flour as opposed to a bread. And I just know this from looking stuff up, but I don't know if I'm correct in that. But I always try to say, like, I don't have a gluten allergy because as I heard you guys just say that it's in the processing, but I have I'm allergic to wheat.
Okay,
I know
so
like certain things give me
a stomach ache. Okay, no, I get it, yeah. Crystal. So you have an allergy versus something like an autoimmune disease like celiac. That's different.
Yes.
That's different.
Correct.
Okay.
I've been tested for that. I don't have that.
That is correct. And there are people that do. There are also people that have a sensitivity to wheat. So anything with wheat in it, and that includes bread flour, all-purpose flour, cake flour, you basically have to go gluten-free because so many breads that have gluten in them also have, they're made from wheat flours.
Right.
And also check, Crystal, you have to check things like if you buy packaged gravies, salad dressings,
even soy sauce has wheat flour.
Correct.
Soy sauce.
Yes.
Ramen noodles are like the number thing, wheat flour. And
yes.
They like make me want to die.
Yes.
I know.
So go with your gut, literally, and check all the ingredient list. And I wish you good luck. It's hard. I know. It's very, very hard to live. But there are, you're living.
I just
living...
kind of avoid a lot. But
go ahead,
Chris. I was explaining it correctly.
Yes,
I think you are. Okay.
You are saying that you have a wheat allergy, and that's very important for people to hear, especially when you go to a restaurant. Make sure they hear that, and the chef makes your meals accordingly.
Crystal, we're out of time, but thank you very much for the call. We had an email or two here we're not going to get to. Chef Gail, if people want to find you, how do they do it?
They can go to my YouTube channel, which is Chef Gail Sokol on YouTube, or they can go to my website at chefgailsokol.com. And okay. I interact with lots of people on
really?
YouTube.
Even people you don't like?
Even people I don't like
so
you.
So that's why you're on the show. That's right. Does Harold have to call you Chef Gail?
Nah, he never calls me Chef Gail.
No? Okay.
Just Chef.
Ah.
Chef.
C'est bon. Okay. All right, well, we're done. Support comes from Cafe Capriccio, now booking their classic Tuscany tour for September 26, highlighting the food, wine, and culture of the Tuscany countryside. RuaTours.com for reservations. Acres, Alden Country Real Estate Services, a holistic transactional real estate brokerage serving the Berkshires of Western Massachusetts. BerkshireAcres.com for information. And Waymo, autonomous driving technology developed to operate without fatigue or distractions, designed to follow traffic laws and recognize pedestrians and cyclists. More at Waymo.com. Thanks again to Chef Gail Sokol for being here today. Thank you for listening. Thanks for the emails and the calls. Thanks to Mike Bowen, our engineer. Barb King screened the calls. I'm Ray Graff. I will see you Monday at 2 for a Medical Monday all about feet. Meantime, have a lovely weekend.